Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Good morning. How are you feeling this morning? Say alive. God is good. And all the time. This morning we've come to celebrate Easter. Easter is our defining moment. It's what makes us us. It's what makes us, in the face of uncertainty, of changing times, have that confidence to live as Easter people. Even during the season of Lent, as we go through this time of preparation, each Sunday is a small celebration of Easter, even in the midst of doubt and of uncertainty. And yet we come to this Sunday, this Easter celebration, and say, we as Easter people have a tremendous advantage. C.S. Lewis once said that Christians are the most blessed people, not because they're more righteous or they're better people, but because they know the story and they're living out that true story. And so this morning we want to look at what is our advantage? Do you know the advantage that lies before you? And are you living out that tremendous story that God has given us? This morning we want to look at a passage that comes from John's Gospel. The 20th chapter, it's the story of Mary going to the tomb. Let us center our lives on what God is doing. Would you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. If you ever wonder about that kind of passage that we reiterate, it is living out each and every Sunday the Easter testimony. Why have we come? Because God has a word in my life, and I'm a new creation. Anyway, beginning with in John's Gospel. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linens lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside, and he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth had been covering Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning to come and stare into the tomb, to experience the resurrection, not only that Jesus experienced, but that we can experience as well, to embrace the hope and the story, and to live joyfully, not just at our death, but in our living as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live with an Easter advantage. We have a story that transforms our life, but only if we understand that advantage and use it. There is a story about a young boy in 1799 who was farming the family fields in rural North Carolina, a place called Stanford, which is in Cabarrus County. And like a lot of farms at that time, he came across a very large stone. He overturned this stone, but it was a different kind of stone than anything he'd ever seen before. Can we go to the next slide? The stone that he had overturned was a 17-pound nugget of gold. But the young boy had never seen gold before in rural North Carolina, and so he didn't know what it was. And so he took it home to show his father, and his father also didn't know what it was. And so for the next 15 years, the family used this 17-pound nugget of gold as a doorstop. Now, eventually, the family needed to raise some money, as will happen from time to time, being kind of dirt farmers in North Carolina. And so they took it to the town to see what they might get for it. And of course, somebody in that town recognized what it was and paid them $3 for the nugget. Now, the story has certain impact for all of us because, as many of you probably know, in our own life, gold only has a certain amount of value to us. But today, we are celebrating something that is infinitely, and I might even say eternally, more significant than 17 pounds of gold. And yet, it only has its value if you recognize what it is, for what it is, and that you are able to use it to transform your life. And so the challenge that we have today is to ask, we have been given Easter, is sitting in your lap. And the question is it a doorstop for you, or is it a life-changing opportunity? Is it something that will transform your life from the inside out? C.S. Lewis said, we are the most blessed people because we understand the power of this day. It transforms our lives. It motivates us in new and profound ways. The past is paid for. The future lies before us. There's a couple of things I want us to focus on that makes us the blessed people that we are or that we can be. What is it that we learn as a result of Easter that makes us have this tremendous advantage? The first thing that I want us to think about this morning from our story is that it reminds us, Jesus wants us to know that we have been given a profound revelation. We understand the world as it really is. The cross of Jesus is not just a hiccup, is not just a road bump on the way to get to Easter. It isn't just another day that gets us there. Good Friday must be faced for what it is. It reminds us of how horribly humanity can treat one another. I have this picture. Sometimes I like to think in images, and this picture came across to me this week of a little boy from Syria. You know all of the devastation that is going on in Syria. And there's this little boy, and he's kind of wrapped up in the blanket, and he's got a little pillow, and he's sleeping on the ground. And at the bottom of it, there is a grave on his left, and there's a grave on his right, and the little boy is sleeping between his parents. And it reminds me that there are parts of our lives that are horribly twisted and corrupt. As a matter of fact, if you believe what the Bible tells, it says that we as human beings are totally corrupt. It says we're warped, we're crooked, we're vile, we're perverted, and we're spoiled. You see, when we look at our lives and we look at how the world seems to be spinning off of its axis, we can't just say, well, we need a small tweak here and there. Maybe just a little add-on will help us out. Maybe just another self-help book will fix all of our problems. We have to come to the conclusion that we are so broken that the revelation of the world, it doesn't need just another Band-Aid. It needs a complete overhaul. Until we understand how depraved human beings can be to one another, we don't really understand the world in which we live. As a matter of fact, even Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross in Luke 23, looked at the people and said, they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus, as he was talking to the disciples, he said, they asked why he was doing these things, and he came and he said, I have come because people need a doctor. They need a cure. He said, I haven't come to cure the people who think that they're righteous. I've come to help the people who know that they're sinners, who know that they're broken. Until we see the world as it truly is, the power of Easter will escape us. Until we can see our need, Easter will remain a doorstop. It'll just become another holiday, another time to buy Easter eggs and spend some money on candy. We need help. We need something to change the course of our lives. We need rescuing. The second thing that we learn out of Easter is that not only is there a problem, but the good news is that there's a cure. That Jesus is pointing us to a new way, a new kind of life. The cure is possible. People tell me that whenever they've gone on a cruise, if maybe you've been on a cruise before, one of the first things that they do when you get on the board the ship is they start going through, in case of an emergency, here's the evacuation, here's the exit. If you find trouble in your life, if problems exist, how do we find the cure? The Bible is very clear that God's solution to the chaos that is going on in our world and in our lives is found nowhere else but in Jesus. This is what we've needed all of our lives. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquity. He was punished, the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We have seen a revelation of how bad the world can get, but we've also received the cure that is given to us, the opportunity that lies before us. The question now is what will we do with that cure? Somebody once said that years ago when they first started coming out with hypodermic needles and they started coming out with inoculations, the cure that would prevent a lot of childhood diseases like polio and things like that, one of the uphill climbs was trying to overcome that barrier of the unexpected, of trying to take an inoculation because people didn't understand it. And I wonder this morning, as we think about what God is trying to do in our world and in our lives, do we really understand the cure that is lying before us? Do we understand, as that small boy, that you're sitting on a nugget of gold that can transform your life, but we don't understand, we don't see it. All we can do is just sit on it and put it in the corner. We have to see the world as it really is. We have to see the cure that God has offered to us. And finally, we have to receive the reward that God wants for us. That all of yesterday's trials and tribulations and troubles have been received and restored and redeemed in today's promise. What is God's promise to you? If we receive this cure, if we receive what God is doing, what has he said for us? He said, where, O death, is your victory, and where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. For those who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. There is no guilt. There is no fear. There is only hope. There is only a new story that is being revealed. And so in our story this morning, in our song that they sang, In Christ Alone, there's a verse that goes, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. This is the cure. This is the power of Easter if we're willing to live it out. But here's the challenge to you. As we think about the truth as we have seen it, that Jesus was horribly abused, denied justice, sacrificed horribly because of people with political and military power, social control, religious control. They killed an innocent person. Probably not the first time that that has happened. We've seen how depraved that we can be. We've seen what we're doing to our own people in our own generation. And we need a cure that goes right to the very core of our identity. We can't just add church on to what else we're doing on our busy schedule. It requires a total immersion. The cure that God has offered to us is to model your life after Jesus. Follow his footsteps. Jesus said to his disciples, I've set for you an example for you to follow. This is the cure. This is the great joy that I have given to you. Because the promise is that there is now no condemnation. We live joyfully. We are Easter people. No matter what going on around us, we know that God is on our side. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In John's gospel, he specifically tells us about two men, right? Peter that comes to the tomb and the other disciple. Most people assume that that's John, the writer of the gospel. But for some reason, John wants you to know something kind of really odd, that they both ran, and one disciple outran Peter. But when he got there, he only looked in. He did not go in. And when Peter arrived, Peter ran right by him, and Peter entered the tomb immediately and saw what was going on, and it said, and he believed. I wonder if John, in writing this kind of, you know, what difference does it really make who ran first and who got there? Because I think John wants us to know that sometimes we do that. We get right up to the tomb and we peek around the corner, but we really don't want to go in. We love church. We love the pageantry. And we love to show up and we like to peek around the corner. But are you ready to go in and see what it's really all about? Eventually, John does go in, and it said, and they believed. The question that lies before all of us is, what do we do with this advantage? I want you to use this image for a moment. Imagine that you've been given this great, powerful gift. A gift that will transform more so than 17 pounds of gold, because that will last only for a little while. The decision that you make today will last and echo in eternity. And the question is this day a doorstop in your life, or is it the source of a new future for you? Is it the beginning of something transformational? Or do you just kind of set it in the corner for a rainy day? There is a tradition, seems to be practiced much more in the Deep South. It is a tradition that goes along with burials. And at burials, particularly famous in New Orleans, although I will tell you, we've seen this as well in Haiti, that whenever there is a funeral, what do they do at funerals? They sing and they dance and they rejoice. And I thought, today of all days, we have to change our thinking from being mournful and reverent and quiet to joyful and exuberant. So I want you to kind of, if you will, I want you to humor me a little bit. I want you to stand, and I want you, as soon as, I don't know where Brittany is. There's, all you have to do is ask, and she arrives. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing the song, When the Saints Go Marching In. And we're going to sing three verses of it. And I want you to feel the power of that song as people would sing that on the way to a cemetery of a loved one. And feel this morning the joy of your own life as you allow that song to be sung in your hearts. God lies in your hands to change your life today. It begins today. Receive the Easter advantage. Let us pray. Father, bless us that we would recognize the power of this day, that we would be counted in that number, that we would be considered the saints that are being transformed, and that our lives would always be changed by the Easter experience. In Jesus' name, amen.